This is David Harlow for Diabetes Innovation, and I'm speaking today with Christina Roth, founder of the College Diabetes Network. Hello, Christina, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So, for starters, could you please give us a thumbnail introduction to the College Diabetes Network? What is it?
Sure. So, the College Diabetes Network, or CDN, is a national nonprofit organization, and we work with students across the country to create support networks on campus and to provide all the information and resources to make their transition into college and their experience there as successful as possible.
That's great. I know from personal and family experience that the transition from high school to college can be difficult, particularly for someone dealing with a chronic medical condition. I imagine that you've had some significant uptake in campuses across the country. Can you give us a sense of the reach of the network?
Sure, absolutely. So we're still actually a pretty young organization. We were just started back in 2009 when I was actually a student and reached out on my campus. So at this point, we have about 36 chapters throughout the country and in Canada, and we have contacts to over 100 campuses. So it's been really excited to see the really quick uptake of all of it. Before we were here, there was no organization to connect these individuals or provide resources just for them. So we came into this space and are just trying to fill the need there.
And so how do you find yourself reaching out to new campuses? Do people find you online? Do you find other organizations online and link up with them? How does that work?
So we attribute our success really to the fact that there's social media now and that there is the internet that everybody's using. And through that, people have contacted us, and from the parents and the student leaders and even the campuses that reach out to us, we then work with them to create groups locally. But because we are just starting to become an organization with some sort of budget, we will actually be starting to reach out actively to campuses to try to create groups where there really might be a huge need. But what we do is we work directly with a student leader to start the group so that there's always that cornerstone of that peer support that we started from.
Great. And you mentioned parent groups as well, or parent contact as well. So are there parallel groups for parents of college students with diabetes?
So right now what we do is we work directly with just students to create campus-based groups. But as we've really become this hub for young adults, it's become apparent that parents really need the support as well. So we actually have a parent advisory committee who's helping us to figure out what resources parents need and what they want. But what we offer currently right now is information and resources through our website. And then we're always getting emails and phone calls from parents about questions that they have or some way that they want to be put in touch with another parent or even a student to babysit kids. So right now we're just trying to figure out what parents want and need and find ways to address that as well.
Okay. And what is the source, or what are the sources of the information that you're sharing, if it's care management or sort of diet and other bits of advice? Where are you sourcing that information from?
That's a huge question. So right now we're working with partners throughout the diabetes industry, so either nutritionists, exercise physiologists, experts, medical professionals. We work with them to make sure that we're providing the right information to our students. But with that being said, we're also getting tips from the students themselves or getting the information from students and then having medical professionals review it. We always want to make sure that it's central to the needs of these young adults, but that it's the right information from a medical professional's view.
Okay. Great. So any particular suggestion or idea from a college-age student would be vetted by medical professionals before it's posted?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I was going to say, as I'm thinking of it, the only place where that's not the case is in our blog. We do have a student bloggers, and they post information, but it is posted that it's their viewpoints and not that of a medical professional.
Okay. And so give me a sense of how many contributors you have, whether it's student bloggers, medical professionals writing or being involved in some way. How many folks are involved in putting this information out?
We actually don't really have a number. We put calls out to our student leaders kind of regularly and post what they give us. We have one student blogger that posts every week, once or twice a week. And then we have our staff put up posts, and then we do guest posts pretty regularly. So I don't really have a number, but we're always
okay.
open to guest postings.
Great. So there's blogging and there's new information being put up on the website as well, I imagine. And are there other active social media communities that have grown up around CDN?
So one of our kind of things that our mantras is that there's no reason to recreate the wheel. So we do a lot through Facebook and Twitter and the communities that live there. We've partnered with 2Diabetes and Diabetes Hands Foundation and have communities there. And then really just anywhere that a young adult community pops up through existing social media, we're there to give support. That being said, we do have our student leaders, so we've created sort of listservs within our organization for those individuals to stay in touch and to communicate with one another.
I think that's a great point, that there are so many groups, sites, resources online already, and there is sometimes the problem of folks recreating the wheel, as you say, in order to try to brand an outpost or something. But if you can get the information out through an existing community, that's certainly at least as valuable, certainly easier for people to access it if it's a community they're already involved with. Do you have a sense of how many folks are using the resources that you're creating, whether via online or on a local basis, on a weekly or monthly basis? Is that sort of the wrong metric?
I would say that we tend to use different metrics, but we are in the process, because that's always a central metric that people look to. So we're in the process of putting together our database now, which will give us those metrics that we can use. The ones that we tend to use are our actual student leaders that we're always in touch with, our reach on the actual campuses, and we're in the process of finding out how, from the student leaders that we're in touch with, how many people that they then are in touch with and that are being affected by CDN. So we're in the process of collecting that, and we'll have that soon. The other ways that we get in touch with people are, one, just through our social media, through Google Analytics, who's looking at our resources. And then we also have other just communications through our newsletter and our iPhone application, actually, as well, so the amount of downloads and interactive use with that.
So what do you see as the value, or what feedback do you get from users and visitors about the value that's offered by the CDN resources?
So CDN, I would say that there's a few different answers to that. So one, the cornerstone of what we do is peer support. The fact that it's peer-based is just where the value comes from in general. The second value, I would say, is the fact that the organization is creating a hub for these young adults of resources, interactions, and information that didn't exist before. So one is just the fact that we exist and we're giving rise to the voice of young adults with diabetes. And the second is that it's that peer interaction, because that tends to be, especially for this population, what's most effective in creating motivation and just providing just some sort of value to individuals.
Do you have any plans to review this in sort of a rigorous way to see, you know, is this working? Are you making a difference? Can you measure that against groups who are not involved with CDN on other college campuses?
Absolutely. My background is actually in psychology and research, and my original plan was to become a clinical psychologist before CDN sort of blew up. So always, as I've been creating this network and this community, has been in the back of my mind, how can we use this to leverage and really help to better inform the needs of young adults and how to better help them? So part of that is finding out our outcomes and the effects that we have. So part of what we see this database that we're building doing is helping us to collect that information so we can be much more rigorous about it.
Great. Are you able to share with us information about who some of your larger supporters are? Are you supported by folks providing care and services in the diabetes space or other sorts of supporters?
Sure. So right now we're actually still a very small nonprofit, and we really just got our break at the end of last year. Up until then, we were completely grassroots and volunteer run. At the end of last year, we were very lucky to get a grant from Novo Nordisk, and since have set up a corporate membership that we're just starting to roll out. So we're talking with a few companies now that actively are only company supporters are Novo Nordisk, and actually a small one from Edgepark as well. In addition to our corporate side, trying to get them involved with this community, we also are in touch with the Helmsley Charitable Trust and some other foundations to try to get some foundation funding. And then in addition, one of our big users is the sustainability of this organization. So running it so that we have other sustainable revenue sources to bring in and keep us going even if we didn't get a grant 1 year, we don't get a company supporter, so that we're very independent and not reliant on one central source of an income. So we're looking at those other business opportunities now.
Great. Do you see other organizations in the same or in complementary spaces that you are working with or would like to work with?
Absolutely. So like I said, one of our mantras is not recreating the wheel, and part of that is being able to collaborate with other organizations that might not be right directly in our demographic, but with complementary programming. So we do collaborate with many organizations throughout the diabetes community and are branching out even into the college health community and colleges as well. So for instance, I'm trying to think of a few off the top of my head. The T1D Exchange has been an amazing partner to us so far in their GLU community, the Diabetes Hands Foundation, Diabetes Scholars Foundation we're currently talking with, just really all throughout the diabetes community. There's a whole list, and on our website we have an amazing page of all of our partners that they're all listed there.
Okay. So, what do you hope to learn at the Diabetes Innovation Conference this fall?
I'm really excited about just the networking to connect with other passionate individuals that want to create change in the diabetes community, whether it be from the industry perspective, from the policy perspective, from the community perspective, and just try to figure out ways that we can be innovative about creating change. And then also, I'm excited to be on the peer support panel to just really figure out ways that peer support can be more recognized within the diabetes community and become more of a central resource for diabetes management.
That's great. Well, I look forward to seeing you at the conference and wish you the best of luck in your continued efforts. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
This is David Harlow for Diabetes Innovation. I've been speaking with Christina Roth, founder of CDN, the College Diabetes Network.